Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as James, he's our guy.
We still got James Harden. Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get 20% off. 20% off your very next order. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. Got a lot of topics want to hit on today. We'll talk a little bit about the Austin Rivers sign and trade to the Knicks. Want to talk about the rumored blue alternates for the Rockets that look like they are becoming a very, very real thing. Talk about the Christmas Day slate of games, the Christmas Day schedule being leaked, and the Rockets not being a part of it this year. Also want to get into Kevin Durant and his words regarding the whole James Harden Brooklyn situation, as well as the possibility versus probability of Rockets award candidates for this season, like Coach of the Year, MVP, Sixth Man of the Year, those kinds of things. So let's start first, and this happened last Friday, and we did speak about it with Karthik Prasad when he was on for our Turkey Day podcast, but Austin Rivers was facilitated in a sign and trade to the New York Knicks. In addition, The Rockets also included the rights to Sergio Lull, so Lull Watch is now dead and gone. Sergio Lull will never be a Houston Rocket, and chances are he will also never be a New York Knick. However, the Rockets did receive back a young prospect in Isuf Sanin, another EuroLeague player, just 21 years old. He was a second-round draft pick in 2018, so now we can convert Lull Watch over into Sanin Watch, and you know, basically chances of him ever coming over slim to none. No, legitimately, looking at this deal, it's interesting because, first off, I've watched a little bit of tape on Sanin. You know, my first impressions are I don't think he'd be, I don't know, his speed looks a little slow for the NBA game. But again, he's young. He's a young prospect, just 21 years old. So the Rockets have the rights to him now. And my main belief regarding this trade, the only reason the Rockets did it is because they actually like something they see in Sanin. That's what makes sense, because they had no other incentive to trade Austin Rivers or to sign and trade Austin Rivers to the Knicks to help facilitate that, as well as trading the rights to Sergio Lull and two other EuroLeague players, the international rights to, I'm going to butcher these names, Tadija Dragovic and Alex Hervel. There we go. I probably butchered those names, but they traded the international rights to three players plus Austin Rivers for the rights to Sanin, which shows that they might think that he might be worth something further down the line. You know, it's not a bad bet to have a EuroLeague stash, you know, one or two EuroLeague players that you could potentially look at bringing over further down the line. We'll see how well Jayshon Tate works. He's not a traditional, you know, EuroLeague player, but he's an overseas player, you know, having played in the NBL. So we'll see how he works out. But I don't hate the move. I also don't love the move. Just figured I would revisit that to make sure everybody's on the same page. Now, I'll just keep rolling down the list the way that I introduce these topics. The blue Rockets jerseys. So, you know, the initial reaction to these jerseys, we saw the shorts like a month ago, maybe a little over a month ago. There was an NBA page, I think a Brazilian NBA page. And, you know, we saw the shorts posted, and I kind of liked them. You know, the baby blue color scheme kind of reminds you of the Houston Oilers a little bit, kind of that throwback scheme. And it was a nice change of pace because everything for the Rockets has been either white, black, gray, or hex code red, CE1411. I even know the Rockets hex code color. That's how tied into these colors I am for the team. That's partially because the blog is also in hex code CE1411. Anyways, so because you can look up NBA teams and see, you know, what their color codes are and all that good stuff. But legitimately, the Rockets color scheme is pretty cut and dry simple, except for, you know, obviously these super awesome ketchup and mustard throwbacks that everybody loves. And unfortunately, those are not going to be a thing moving forward this next season. Neither are the NASA alternate jerseys. So these blue ones do not inspire a lot of confidence. They just don't look great. I was really hoping that the top part of the jersey would have a little bit more going on than it does. It's just very bland. At least the NASA ones had some like kind of cool font. They looked a little interesting. And obviously, you know, Houston, NASA, they kind of go hand in hand. Wasn't a big fan of how the NASA ones said H-Town on the front instead of either Houston or Rockets. And likewise, these alternate blue jerseys say H-Town again on the front, but they don't have much else going on. I was kind of hoping for the Rocket throwback from the pinstripe jerseys from the late 90s, early 2000s, or at least, you know, add the pinstripes, right? Give the jersey a little bit of throwback flavor, but it's just bland. It's just a baby blue jersey, and I'm not super hype about it. Check it out for yourself. I retweeted it recently, so double check it on Twitter. Tell me what you think about it. I'm not blown away by it. But the Rockets should have probably maybe one more alternate, hopefully, this season, because again, they did have two alternates last season, being the NASA jerseys and the ketchup and mustard jerseys. So hopefully, maybe there's another jersey in the pipeline that they'll release a little bit further down the line. We'll wait and see what goes on with that. But coming up here in just a moment, I do want to talk about the Christmas Day slate of games, the fact that the Rockets are not included, and we're actually going to take a stroll and talk about Zion Williamson, and we're going to talk about Ja Morant. So hang tight. We'll get there in just one moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Bar. Protein bars. Look, you either love them or you hate them. And personally for me, I used to not be a big fan of protein bars until I found Built Bar. They have the best tasting protein bars on the market. They're not even like protein bars. They're basically candy bars that are jam packed with protein. They've got 18 delicious flavors. The bars are soft, they're easy to chew, they're covered in 100% delicious chocolate. They're great whether you're just trying to like lose weight, maintain weight, whatever it may be. I usually, you know, grab when I'm running out the door if I'm a little late in the morning or something. That way, I'm not totally skipping out on breakfast. You know, they're low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing, absolutely amazing for a keto diet. Again, you know, each one of these bars, they've got anywhere from like 17 to 20 grams of protein in every single bar. And you can check them out. Just go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at builtbar.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Sometime later this week, we're going to revisit and kind of do some more B-ball index stuff and talk about James Harden and Russell Westbrook using some of that B-ball index data. I think that's a really fun way to kind of provide a little bit more context about players and what their strengths and weaknesses are. And we'll tackle that a little bit later this week. So definitely want to stay tuned, be checking out the shows. I didn't want to tackle that today just because it felt like there was a little bit of a melting pot of various news to talk about regarding the Rockets, so I didn't want to spend an entire episode today discussing that. Even a couple of these tidbits were available when I recorded the last episode doing the breakdown on Christian Wood, but I promised that on social media, so I wanted to deliver on that. Now, this Christmas Day slate of games. So the Rockets find themselves not on the Christmas Day slate of games, which is hilarious because this past NBA season, the Rockets accounted for 30% of the most watched games in the NBA. Now, whether that's because the Rockets are, you know, people like watching the Rockets or people just like watching the Rockets hopefully lose, who cares? They account for a big chunk of the NBA viewership. They are a popular team to watch, and yet they don't get the respect that they deserve from the national media or apparently even from the NBA scheduling team. You know, I think it's just one dude who writes the schedule. It's not like a supercomputer or something. I remember reading that somewhere like in passing, and I think that's true, but don't quote me on that. Anyways, whoever's doing the schedule obviously doesn't care about the Rockets and obviously doesn't care about having an interesting competitive Christmas Day schedule, because this is kind of a meh Christmas Day schedule, honestly. So first game of the day, we've got Pelicans at the Heat. So New Orleans Pelicans at Miami Heat, 12 p.m. Eastern. Then we've got Warriors at Bucks at 2:30 Eastern. Nets at Celtics, 5 p.m. Eastern. Mavericks at Lakers at 8 p.m. Eastern. And then Clippers at Nuggets at 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. So I'll start with the Nets first. First off, it would have been so easy regarding everything going on with James Harden and the Brooklyn Nets situation and the requesting of a trade and Kevin Durant's commentary on the Nets situation and his potential recruitment of James Harden, which I will tackle here shortly. But all of that, right? That's the one of the most compelling storylines running into this season for the NBA, because it involves the Houston Rockets franchise player. It involves the Brooklyn Nets. Why would you not have those two teams playing against each other on Christmas Day? The stories are practically writing themselves. James Harden faces off against his potential future teammate, Kevin Durant. Like, it would have been so easy. It's literally free real estate. Like, it's that meme, like the guy saying it's free real estate. That's what's going on there. And the NBA totally botched it. Now, I do think the Celtics deserve a spot in there, but who else deserves to get bumped? Personally, get the Pelicans the hell out of there, or no, it's pretty much just Pelicans. Yeah, get the Pelicans out. And this will lead me into my next point. Ja Morant versus Zion Williamson. I despise the fact that the NBA is pushing Zion so hard right now. I am frustrated by it. I think it's crazy how much attention that he's gotten. No other player since LeBron freaking James has received this much national media attention and this much NBA spotlight. And so far, I'm underwhelmed. I really am. And I'll take it even a step further. I enjoy watching Ja Morant play the game better than I do watching Zion play the game. I think Ja is so far a more exciting player than Zion is. And the only reason Zion is getting billed as this top dog, right, is because there was so much hype around him coming out of the draft. And yes, he was injured his first season, you know, came back in the bubble, wasn't in shape, you know, just hasn't blown me away, honestly. Meanwhile, Ja Morant out there, definitely deserving of the Rookie of the Year award. You know, every chance that I get where my schedule doesn't conflict, whether it be because of a Rockets game or because of work or something like that, I tune into Grizzlies games. The Grizzlies are the one team that I actively tune into besides the Houston Rockets. Shout out Locked On Grizzlies. But the Grizzlies are the one team that I actively tune into, like, to try and watch consistently, because I really enjoy watching Ja Morant play the game of basketball. I think he's absolutely a stud. He's going to be a star for years to come, and he's just an exciting player to watch. Maybe I'm just biased and I just prefer guard play over, you know, bulky, you know, forwards and the power game that Zion has. It's not that Zion's a bad player. I just don't find him as compelling as Ja, and I am still scratching my head as to why the NBA continues to try and bill him that way. You know what? It should be the Grizzlies in there instead of the Pelicans, and that's where I'm going to leave that. No, legitimately, it should have been Rockets versus Nets, and it should have been Celtics versus Heat. And then, honestly, I'm okay with the rest of the lineup. The Warriors make sense because they're the golden child of the NBA, and they're trying to rebuild Steph Curry and you know, get the Warriors a little bit more spotlight. Mavericks-Lakers is going to be a good game, and the Clippers-Nuggets should be a good game as well. And there will be plenty of memes about the Clippers and Nuggets, seeing as how the Nuggets, you know, bounced the Clippers after their second 3-1 comeback in the playoffs. So hopefully there will be a lot of entertaining basketball played that day. And the one saving grace with the Rockets not playing Christmas Day basketball is, look, you can just sit back, crack open an eggnog, enjoy NBA basketball, have fun making fun of other teams, trash other fan bases, and you don't have to worry about the Rockets walking out and getting waxed by the Warriors on Christmas Day. The understaffed and underhanded Warriors on Christmas Day. So just enjoy Christmas Day basketball without having to stress about the Rockets. That's kind of the only silver lining in all of this. So did my piece, I spoke my piece on Ja Morant and Zion, talked about the Christmas Day slate of games. Next up for this final segment, I do want to talk about the Kevin Durant commentary regarding James Harden, throw in a couple thoughts about that, as well as the, you know, the official locked in, fully announced roster and some of the players that, you know, have a decent chance at some awards this next NBA season. And we'll get there in just one moment. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. If you haven't checked them out yet, be sure to check out the Hollinger and Duncan podcast. It's, you know, a part of this very own podcast network, the Locked On Network. Be sure to check them out if you haven't yet. Subscribe to their podcast wherever you listen to this podcast to get basketball smart. They've got scouting reports, game breakdowns, salary cap analysis, you name it. They've probably got it for a more wide scope take on the NBA. Now, as promised, let's get into these comments from Kevin Durant, who was made available because of the NBA's untraditional version of Media Day this year. So instead of having it be Media Day with all the players and media under one roof, they're spreading it out. They're calling it Media Week. The Rockets players should be available Wednesday. As you're listening to this podcast, Rockets players should start being made available. And as they are made available, I've said it before, but we will be running back segments of their interviews here on the pod, just like we did during the bubble as we were ramping up for play returning. We did a lot of the interviews here in the podcast, talked about them, kind of dissected them, discussed whatever was discussed in the interviews. And so we'll continue doing that as soon as we get some actual sound bites to run back. But Kevin Durant came out and basically, you know, his commentary, and I'll just read it and then we'll talk about it. His commentary regarding the whole, you know, Harden Brooklyn rumor situation. Kevin Durant says, "I don't know where you're making these stories up that me and James talked about any of this at a workout. I don't know where that came from. James is a friend of mine, but I let the front office handle all of that stuff. I was just so focused on working out." Then Kevin Durant continues on to say, "I heard all the noise that James potentially wanted to come to the Nets, but anyone can make up stories, anyone can write a story, and it gets some traction. Nothing's ever set in stone until it's set in stone. So I've never thought too much about it, just focused on myself. My teammates probably did the same thing, and we just move forward." Frankly, this just sounds like an empty quote. Of course the two talked about, you know, potentially teaming up at a workout. Tampering happens league-wide every single year, and there's no reason to expect any different between KD, who's coming back off of an Achilles tear, doesn't exactly know how good he's going to be. I mean, obviously KD's probably confident that he's still going to be a top two player in the NBA behind LeBron James, but legitimately, there's concerns about how good Kevin Durant is actually going to be depending on how his Achilles recovery went. So what better way to guarantee a cakewalk to the finals than, "Hey, James, what's up, man? Why don't you, you know, I saw you got bounced by the Lakers in five games. And, you know, it's just, you know, trust me, I know it's kind of tough to make that thing work with Russ, you know, as your second in command go-to guy. Why don't you ask for a trade to the Nets?" I would not put it past him. This quote doesn't mean anything. And yeah, it's just lip service, honestly, at this point. So I'm fully convinced the two actually did talk about the situation. Now, I'm still going to hold firm that, you know, and this is probably me inching a bit more towards blind optimism, because I try to lean middle of the pack, toe the line, and try to be a realist with a lot of my takes and opinions on things. And sometimes maybe even borderline pessimist at times. But I still like to believe the idea that James Harden, forced ownership's hand to spend money, to acquire talent, to put a better team around he and Russ. And that's not to say that the trade request wasn't legitimate, but that it was an ultimatum of sorts, where it's, I would like to be traded to the Nets if we're not putting a championship contender around me. And so we'll see as the season ramps up, as interviews ramp up, as we hear from James Harden himself, the noise surrounding this, he's going to be made available in Rockets interviews. And people, we are going to ask him those questions. We are going to hear from James, what is the deal with Brooklyn? What is your, and we're probably going to get some lip service from James Harden. He's probably going to say something along the lines of, it's all rumors, none of it's true, I'm committed to Houston, all of this. And, you know, it'll be telling, because it'll be telling to see how convincing he is in his response. And my biggest issue with rumors like this in today's age is any one of these NBA players, whenever there's rumors surrounding them, speculation around the franchise, any one of them can jump on their Twitter, their IG, whatever, their AOL account. No, they can jump online. And because it's the age of social media, they can tweet something and within 30 seconds, everybody knows whether it's debunked or legitimate or whatever. Harden could come out and squash the rumors immediately if they were false and just say, no, I didn't request a trade to Brooklyn. Stop talking about it. That's all. And it would take one tweet. It would take 10 words or less to say that. And yet he hasn't done it. So legitimately, I do believe that there's some truth behind it, but I'm choosing to believe, and again, eternal optimism here, I'm choosing to believe that it was an ultimatum and not just a get me out of the door, I'm done here. And the Rockets have done their part now of putting a more talented team, at least on paper, around James Harden and Russell Westbrook for this upcoming NBA season. So that's enough of that discussion. And so to wrap today's show up, I do want to talk about the possibility. No, I take that back. The probability, because possibility, probability, two different things, about the Rockets players this season and what awards they may be able to legitimately compete for the calendar, the end of the year NBA season awards. And I want to talk about that in a second. But first things first is we do have the Rockets official training camp roster. And one little cool tidbit that I put up on social media is that the Rockets actually have numbers 0 through 17, jersey number 0 through 17, with the exception, of course, yours truly, number 11, Yao Ming, retired, as you know, obviously his number has been retired. Nobody can wear 11 for the Houston Rockets, but 0 through 17, except for 11 because of Yao Ming, are all currently occupied by Rockets players. Now, not everybody that's on the current roster makes it, right? This is the training camp roster, so they've got more than 15 players available, but the Rockets players whose jerseys we weren't aware of, I'm going to run through those really quick. So David Nwaba is going to rock jersey number 1. Broderick Thomas is going to rock jersey number 2. Who else do we have? Bruno Caboclo, just in case you didn't remember, wore jersey number 5. KJ Martin is rocking jersey number 6. Kenny Wooten is rocking number 7. Jayshon Tate decided to roll number 8. Mason Jones is running number 9. Honestly, shout out Mason Jones for picking number 9. Off the top of my head, the only other number 9 that I can ever think of in the NBA is Tony Parker. But whenever I play 2K or like back in the day, way back in the day, NBA Live, I always pick jersey number 9 for my player because most players, you know, 3 is a really popular number. 3 is my preferred jersey number. But when there was a player that I was, you know, playing on a team with that already had jersey number 3, I never stole it from him. So I went jersey number 9 instead. And my reasoning behind that was it was 3 squared. So that's me being stupid with math as a kid. Anyways, continuing on, Sterling Brown is jersey number 12. DeMarcus Cousins picks back up jersey number 15. And then obviously Ben McLemore, PJ Tucker rounding out the group with 16 and 17. Trevelyan Queen, jersey number 21. The Rockets actually did pick up another training camp guard, Jerian Grant, 6'4 guard out of Notre Dame. So we'll see how he performs in training camp. He went jersey number 25. And then there's Christian Wood, jersey number 35. So that's the Rockets, you know, the new Rockets, the new additions to the fam, and what jersey numbers they picked. So again, kind of cool, 0 through 17, all occupied there. I wonder how often, if ever, that's happened before. But still, kind of a fun little tidbit there. Now, as far as these awards, right, I kind of have this narrowed down. Let me see, where did I write this down at? They are not there. There we go. Had to scroll up a little bit. You know me and my million tabs that I have open. So again, there's a difference between possibility and probability of awards. Every year, the Rockets have a possibility to get some awards, but what's the probability of them actually getting them? I think there's five names on the Rockets roster that, or I guess not roster, whatever, bench, there we go, that have a legitimate chance, a probable chance at being at least in the race for some awards this year. The first one is a bit of a stretch. The next four are not quite as much of a stretch. So first things first, Steven Silas, right? The Rockets are poised to make a serious, make some serious noise this season. They've got on paper, I genuinely think this is a more talented team than either of the last two seasons that the Rockets have had. So I think this is a more talented team than 2018-2019. I think this is a more talented team than what they started with at the start of last season. So Steven Silas has a good crop of guys to work with. It all just depends on how much James Harden and Russell Westbrook buy in to the new coach, to the new system, all of that. But we could very well see a situation where the Rockets outperform expectations, where they come out of the gate, they blow the doors off the joint, and you know they potentially finish a top three seed in the West. You know, there's a lot of situations going on where Steven Silas could be poised to have that, you know, rookie or not rookie of the year, coach of the year, rookie head coaching campaign, you know, and the agenda could be there for that. And it'd be a great feel good story for the NBA to pick up on. You know, NBA lifer Steven Silas, you know, son of Paul Silas, you know, picks up the Houston Rockets. They have turmoil in the offseason. He comes in, he kind of steadies the waters a little bit, has a really successful first year with them. The story is there and ready for the taking. It's just about how well the Rockets perform. Now, the next four names, so we're down to the players on this. I will throw in the caveat that I don't think Steven Stone, and we've got Rafael Silas, apparently, because I'm getting my wires crossed. Anyways, Rafael Stone, I don't know if he's made enough splashy moves this offseason to be considered for Executive of the Year, which is why I did not list him in the probable category. You know, it seems to me that every single year, the Executive of the Year award tends to just go to whoever pulled in the biggest name free agent or executed the flashiest trade. So obviously, there's still room to grow there, because if Russell Westbrook gets dealt and the Rockets bring back an impressive package and, you know, perform even better without Russell Westbrook, sans Westbrook, then you'd have to throw Stone's name into the ring. But as it stands right now, I'm not leaning Rafael Stone to be included in the Executive of the Year discussion. Now, Christian Wood is a really interesting candidate for Most Improved Player of the Year, because he's going to be getting that starting role. You know, there's a very real chance that he could come out and be that, you know, be a 20-10 powerhouse every single night. And he'd absolutely have to be included in Most Improved Player of the Year award discussion, because he didn't start a majority of the last season. He didn't get a chance to play in the bubble. So if he's able to come in and completely up his averages, or at least continue the averages from when he was starting for the Pistons, and keep that kind of 22-10 streak alive, and if that just becomes his new norm, then he should absolutely be in that discussion for Most Improved Player. We've got two candidates for Sixth Man of the Year, and that is obviously Eric Gordon and DeMarcus Cousins. I genuinely think that either one of those guys could make a serious push for Sixth Man of the Year. We don't necessarily know how well Lou Williams and Montrezl Harrell will play separately now, because they've been kind of that double-headed dragon for a couple years now for the Clippers. And now with Montrezl Harrell on the Lakers, as well as Lou Williams on his own, now without his partner in crime off the bench in Montrez, obviously they're still going to put up numbers, but they were also really dynamic together. They developed a lot of really great chemistry in that pick and roll off the bench. They closed some games for the Clippers. Like, they were just a really strong tandem duo. You know, arguably, you know, the third and fourth best players for those Clippers teams behind, or for that Clippers team behind Kawhi Leonard and Paul George, Pandemic Pete. So seeing how they perform on their own, obviously, right, you know, they're still going to put up numbers. They're still on very good teams. But, you know, their names will more than likely still be in the ring as far as the Sixth Man of the Year candidate is concerned. But if Eric Gordon has a resurgence, there's no reason to believe that he wouldn't have his name in that conversation. And again, Boogie Cousins is poised to, if he has a good bounce back year, depending on where his health is at, he can absolutely be a freight train wrecking ball off the Rockets bench, because how many teams have the ability to bring in a dynamic player like DeMarcus Cousins off the bench in tandem with Eric Gordon? The Rockets are a very deep team this year, depending on the health and performance of those two guys. And I know that sucks to say depending on the health, but that's just kind of where we're at. Eric Gordon struggled last year because he wasn't healthy. And then he finally got healthy, but he wasn't in any kind of a rhythm with his shot because he'd struggled all year. So hopefully he has a proper bounce back season. And then same thing for DeMarcus Cousins. You know, from the videos that we've seen, he looks healthy and he only has to put up even 50% of what he was doing in Sacramento to be a relevant, candidate for Sixth Man of the Year off the Rockets bench. You know, if he's able to put up similar numbers to what he did when he returned to Golden State the first time before the playoffs, those 30-something games that he returned in the regular season with the Warriors, if he's able to put up similar numbers to that, he'll absolutely be in that conversation. And there may be some games, again, where, you know, if the Rockets are playing some bigger teams, that closing lineup, in my mind, is not set in stone. I think there's a very real possibility that Cousins has opportunities to close against certain teams that run a double big lineup, very much like the Lakers. Because if you can imagine, DeMarcus Cousins and Christian Wood checking Mark Gasol and Anthony Davis to end a game, that's a lineup that's match made in heaven, rather than having Christian Wood have to check Mark Gasol and then PJ Tucker, being pretty much a head shorter than Anthony Davis, and Davis just being able to rise up consistently. It's almost too good to be true that the Rockets match up very, very well with the defending champion Lakers. So if they run into them again in the playoffs, they shouldn't get as decimated in the size department as they were this past year. And then, of course, the man of the hour, the beard himself. If Harden plays the entire season with the Rockets, and if he's motivated, if he buys in, he's absolutely going to be in the MVP conversation. He is every single year. Now, I'm worried that the MVP narrative surrounding Luka Doncic is picking up steam. It kind of was last season. So, I think this might be the year, especially depending on how well the Mavericks play, if they finish as, a potential top four seed in the West. There's definitely going to be a strong push for Luka Doncic to probably receive his first MVP award. I've kind of given up the Harden MVP agenda. It was exhausting for the first couple of years that it happened, and then finally he finally got his MVP award, and then it was exhausting again having to wake up every single day trying to convince people that James Harden deserved the MVP award over Giannis, when legitimately I believed either guy could have won the award. I still think it should have gone Harden, but if you're a reasonable fan, you can't be upset with it going to Giannis because of how impressive the Bucks were in that 2018-2019 campaign. Even though Unguardable Tour was super fun, it was impressive as all hell. James Harden did everything that he could to drag the Rockets to wins. Giannis did everything that he could to just absolutely obliterate opponents and not even have to be checked into the game for most fourth quarters. And you can argue strength of schedule and East versus West and all this stuff. The fact of the matter is it's water under the bridge, but James Harden is still a top five NBA player and will absolutely be in the MVP conversation with a possibility, a probable chance of walking away with his second MVP trophy this next season, as long as he buys in and gives it a good faith effort under new head coach Steven Silas. So for today's episode, that's going to be where we wrap things up. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.